And with the Lord's help, we're going to go from verse number 9 in chapter number 3 through verse number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 9 through 15. The Bible starts out in verse number 9, with Paul saying, "For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity once again, Lord, to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your word, and I thank you for helping me with it. Father, as I project the thoughts, Lord, that you put on my heart for this, I pray that you help me, Lord. Just get my flesh out of the way and control my stammering tongue and any emotions. And Father, I pray that you bind Satan and his workers, Lord, from hindering tonight. And Father, I pray, Lord, that your word would just be a blessing to your people, a help. And Father, I pray that it fall on open ears and softened hearts. And Lord, we sure do thank you for this opportunity, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we were looking in the scripture last time, it's covering many things about spiritual growth within us as Christians. And Paul had been telling them it's not about any man, anyone better than the other, but each and every person has a part in someone's salvation, even though you may not be the one to lead them to the Lord, that everybody, and tonight we'll look at this again, that through your just walk each and every day and your testimony can help encourage someone and lead someone to the Lord, whether we know it or not. It starts out here in verse number 9 with, "We are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building." Paul's relating to a couple different things here. He just went through in verses number 6 through 8 about planting and watering and growth and seeing souls saved. And now he says at the end of this that ye are God's husbandry. And when I looked up that word husbandry, it related to a cultivated field. And in Matthew chapter number 13, it relates to this sower in these fields, and how that a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up, and some upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depths of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But you and I as Christians today, and what Paul is relating to with this being God's husbandry, you and I today as Christians are what we would fall into verse number 8. "But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold." We are God's husbandry, church. If you're saved today and you're here tonight and you're saved, and whoever's listening to this, if you're saved, you are God's husbandry. You are that plowed field, that cultivated field where that seed fell one day, and then you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then Paul kind of shifts gears here from the God's husbandry, and after the seeds were sown and cultivated and grown unto salvation, he goes into ye are God's building, according to the grace of God in verse number 10, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another build thereon. Now, as we're looking at the scripture tonight, and I'm getting ready to give you what the Lord gave me, I want you to understand, I don't want to take this out of context. From what I've studied and understood with another build thereon is speaking of teaching. From, as we would think of a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, somebody teaching one. Paul's laid the foundation with Jesus Christ, now it's upon another to teach. I want you to understand that I don't want to take this out of context. We are going to look at teachers tonight, but I think that when we look at this, we are all teachers within ourselves to other Christians. We're teachers to the lost. We're also, I think, because I'm one of these, as Paul speaks about the builder, I don't know if there are any of you out there that are like me. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. If I can help it, I don't want to hire somebody to do the work. I don't want somebody to help me do the work. I like to do things myself with the Lord's help, and I like to accomplish those things with the Lord's help and give Him the honor and glory for it. So there's also a teaching of yourself that can be found through reading Scripture and studying. But as Paul says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Now, as I see the word today and read about foundations, I've found that there's two different foundations that one can build upon. Matthew chapter number 7 and verses 24 through 27 speaks of the two foundations. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, and I like this where Christ says in red letters, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. This house was built upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto, and then he relates to, a foolish man, which builds his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And not only did it fall, but great was the fall of it. Because as I look at the scripture and study this and look at these two foundations, Paul is talking about that foundation of Jesus Christ, that solid foundation, that foundation that's founded upon the rock, the one that will not falter, the one that will not fail. I see this foundation that's built upon the sand that will fail. You know, we look at sand and we think, you know, well, I remember when my wife and I used to do landscape maintenance, we used to watch this show, and I can't remember what it was called, but Gary the Landscaper was on it. And I don't know where he was, I'm thinking it was in Florida, but we used to love to watch this show. He was a real knowledgeable landscaper, but all the digging he did was in sand. And he would take his shovel and he'd go to plant shrubs and he'd say, okay, we're going to put one here. And he'd put his shovel in the ground. He'd just pop that sand out of there and he'd have a hole. And I look at Miss Sharon and I said, you wouldn't do that up here. I said, there's no way. I said, if you're going to dig a hole up here, I said, you need a shovel, you need a mattock, and you need a digging bar, because you're not going to do that up here. We used to crack up at seeing him landscape. He could do four times the work that we could up here in landscaping, because he could go so much faster. But when I saw this sand, I realized this. A lot of people, when they try to build that foundation upon the sand, it's about building a foundation upon the flesh, about what we can do ourselves. It's not going to withstand that test of time. It may seem like it's the easy way, the emotional way, to build a foundation upon ourselves. It seems like it's quicker to do that than to build a foundation upon ourselves, which relates to the sand. It seems like it might be cheaper to build upon the sand, but here's the problem with it. Sand is unstable. Sand shifts, as we read in Matthew. It also settles out. It's not stable at all. It's a foundation of the flesh, a foundation of emotions, At any time, our flesh can fail us. We have prayer requests that we just prayed over. We've got sickness. You know, we've got people that fall into lusts. We've got death that we deal with. We've got financial struggles that we go through. We've got failing help. This is the foundation that's built upon the sand. It will not stand the test of time. It'll falter and it will fail. But then there's that foundation that's built upon the rock. That's in Matthew chapter number 7 and verses 24 and 25. And I like the fact that Jesus said that that is built upon the rock, I will liken him unto a wise man. And anybody that builds the foundation upon Jesus Christ and that rock can be found as a wise man. And upon that house, the storms prevailed against it, and it fell not because it was founded on that rock. That stability that we have in Jesus Christ. That even though, like the man that is built upon the sand, when financial struggles come up and death comes up and desires come up that aren't in God's will, and sickness comes up and failing help comes up, that we can stand upon that rock and know that Jesus has got our back no matter what we go through, if we'll turn to Him and build upon His foundation for our lives. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse 18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter," and Jesus is talking about himself here, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Paul says, "I have laid the foundation, and another build thereupon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." When we go into the building materials here, Paul's relating this scripture to a building. He says in the end of verse number 9, "Ye are God's building." And in verse number 16, he says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" Paul's relating this to buildings, to structures that are built. And Paul says, "Be careful, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Paul relates the scripture to us as a building in verse 16. He says, it helps us understand what was brought out in the previous text concerning Christian growth. We can relate to building something, to living a productive and growing spiritually, growing as a Christian in life after salvation. Paul moves into the building materials here, and he says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, precious stones, silver, things that will last." And then he's got what I call the biodegradable materials, the things that will not last, the wood, the hay, the stubble. When Paul moves on to these materials, it states that every man's work shall be made manifest, that fire shall try every man's work. What we do with our lives after salvation, all the work that we do, our Christian lives, the things that we do every day and say every day and think every day, the Bible says that these things will be made manifest, that fire shall try every man's work. Are they things for the Lord, or are they worthless deeds? We've got the gold, the silver, the precious stones, the precious things, the everlasting things that we do each and every day, the things that we teach others in our attitude and actions. And then we've got those things that are just kind of worthless, the wood, the hay, and the stubble. When we look at this, James related to this in his works that he said, and I'm not talking about work salvation, but I'm talking about what we should do after salvation, in what we should do for the Lord as working for Him, is stated in James chapter number 2 and starts in verse number 14 actually, where he states, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he shall have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute for daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by thy works. Verse number 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He hammers it again in verse number 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Those things that we do, that we build upon that foundation of Jesus Christ each and every day in our lives, they're either going to be precious stones, gold, silver, or they're going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Matthew chapter number 25 and verses 34 through 40. The Bible states that 34 through 40. For I was hungered, given an example of those precious things that will stand the test of time. Again, is it related to it back over in James? For I was hungered, let's see. It said, the king said unto them, for those that sat on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me of these least of these. The things that we do each and every day, not only for our brethren and our sisters, but also for these that are lost, to show that testimony of how we're building upon that foundation of Jesus Christ each and every day. Are we building up the silver, the gold, the precious stones, or are the things that we do, or are they just wood, hay, and stubble, and they're not going to last the test of time? The things that are gold and silver and precious stones, these things that are precious to the Lord, they glorify and please God our Father. They're everlasting. They're things not touched by fire, unmovable by the pressures of life. I even read that these precious stones, that whenever you do pass them through fire, all it does is make them shine brighter. But then there's these, as I think about them, as biodegradable materials, the wood, the hay, the stubble, these things that do not stand the test of time, things that are meaningless, things that don't last, things that don't hold up under the intense heat of fire when things get rough, just the worthless things that sometimes we do each and every day that don't really matter, that don't please the Lord. Let us not dare to join a merely human or carnal life with a divine faith, the corruption of sin with the profession of Christianity. Now, I was looking at this and I was thinking to myself, you know, if you've got the firm foundation, even if we've laid up wood, hay, and stubble, I thought about, these things can be done over. You can go back to that firm foundation if it's based upon Jesus Christ. If it's built upon the sand, you can't. And I was thinking about our house. I got in our basement one day and I was doing some repair work down there, and I had to, our basement's got block walls and it goes into a concrete floor. And I had to patch some holes on the backside of the house. They didn't waterproof it with any kind of membrane. It was 1940-ish when they built it.
And I had to patch some holes on the back wall where some water was seeping through and some block had rusted. And I started pecking out this block, and I realized that as I started pecking out the block, the cinder blocks, and I'd never seen it before until I did this, the cinder blocks were absolutely rotten. They had just fallen apart. They were just pieces of cinder in my hand. And as I started going across the bottom of this bottom row where the water was seeping through, I realized that it went all the way through to the dirt. And I thought, oh, Lord. And I started having one of these panic attacks because I'm thinking the whole house is it's getting ready to fall because this block wall has no bottom cinder blocks in it now. It's totally gone. And I start to have a little panic attack, a little anxiety attack. I had to walk away. And the Lord just gave me peace and said, just get back in there and just start working. And I said, okay. So I got back in there and started digging around. And I realized that at the bottom of that block was the foundation that they laid years and years ago, a concrete footer. It was still intact and it was still good. So I start packing concrete, knocking out the old rotten block, packing up concrete on top of the good foundation and building back up to what was rotten before. It blessed my heart that I could save our house without it costing a lot of money. The do-it-yourself, remember? So I say that to say this. Even if you may be out there and you've built wood, hay, stubble, these things that are worthless, you can start over today if you've got that firm foundation. And you can build upon that something that's solid for our Lord and Savior. And that way, one day when we get up there before Him, He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've got this. You've got this. These precious stones. You've got some of this gold and some of this silver here that's going to withstand this test of fire. Because as we look at it, verse 13, we have to have an understanding of what they're talking about here, where it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If many man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as yet by fire. It needs to be understood that this is speaking of the judgment seat of Christ. This is only the saved are going to be here, okay? Those who have believed on Christ, the day when we'll stand before Christ and the things which we have done will be brought out, whether they have been for the Lord or whether they have been worthless things that we have done that are wood, hay, and stubble. It relates again to this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, where Paul says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Romans chapter number 5 and verse 10 also relates back to this. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we should be saved by His life. When we're looking at this, I don't want you to be confused with this in the white throne judgment, okay? White throne judgment is where we stand up and we're either in the Lamb's book of life, we've been saved, or we're not, okay? The saved will go through and then we'll stand before the Lord and our works will be judged. That's what we're relating to in the scripture here, what Paul's talking about. It says, every man's works shall be made manifest in verse number 13. To be plainly recognized or known is what that word means by definition. Revealed by fire. The way I see this is I can picture this in my mind that whenever I get to heaven one day, if you've ever been through a drive-through car wash, I picture it as this. We're going to go through the drive-through car wash, but instead of the foam and the water shooting out at you, it's going to be flames, okay? And we're going to go through this, and we're just going to go, whoosh, and we're going to come out the other side. That's the way I picture this. Now, if it's not like this, I'll be upset, but I'll be okay because I'll still be in heaven. But that's the way I picture this in my mind when I think about this scripture. And when we come out the other side,
everything that we've done that's worthless is going to be gone. But everything that we've done for the Lord that's been precious stones, gold and silver, is going to come out the other side. If it's worthless, it's going to get burned up. If it's valuable that we've done for the Lord, it will stand that test of fire. It says in verse number 14, as we finish this up tonight, the things that we do here on earth, it will gain us a reward. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, I say that not on this earth, but the things that we do down here, if it be precious stones, gold and silver, if any man's work abide, these things which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now Matthew 25:21 relates to this, and it says that his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." Rewards that we're going to see one day. Now, Paul relates it to, I'm a firm believer that the things that we do here on earth, I've gotten rewards for them here on earth before, and I'm sure you have too. We call them blessings. That for the things that we've done, we try to honor the Lord in the things that we do, and we try to speak to people in the right way, and we try to carry the right attitude, we try to do the right actions, and we come to church, you know, and we tithe, and the Lord just seems to, even though it's 10%, Lord, and we give on top of that to missions, and we have offerings on top of that, and the Lord just always seems to keep getting the bills paid. You know, He blesses us for being obedient to His Word and being obedient to Him. I'm a firm believer in that, and I teach that to our young people as well. It's like, because God's been so good to, I know, just to me, and I'm sure you can say that to yourself too, that God's been so good to you. That we receive rewards here on this earth for being obedient to His Word and being obedient to Him. But on top of that, we get rewards in heaven. Matthew 16:27, "For the Son of Man shall come in glory of His Father with His angels." Revelation 16:12, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Paul said, this is as we wrap this up tonight in Philippians 2:16, he said, "The reason I do all this, the reason I go and I preach and I go to all these cities, and the reason I write all these letters," he said this in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 16, "holding forth the word of God, the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Paul says, I hope one day when I get up there and I pass through that fire, that it'll come out the other side, that I've not run in vain, that I see the souls that have been saved through my testimony, through my walk every day. It's you and I. That we can have a part in that. Sure, we may not be the ones that led them to the Lord, but through our teaching and through what we build upon that firm foundation of Jesus Christ, the precious stones, the gold and the silver, the things that we do in helping people, the things that we do in trying to keep the right speech and not going along with the crowd, and just the way that we carry our attitudes and the way that we speak to people each and every day. As Paul said, that it have a little part. I may be the sower. I may be the waterer. I may be the one that weeded the garden, kept everything from getting choked out, but that you and I just have a little part. Like Paul said, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. That one day we'll get up to heaven and see our works, that they'd be worth something one day. That the Lord would say, "Thou hast done well, thou good and faithful servant." That'd be a blessing. I know I fall short many times, but we try to lay up those things that are good and not the things that are going to burn up one day. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. Father, we sure do love you. And Lord, we just thank you for this day that you've given us today. I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for your help tonight. I thank you for liberty. And Lord, I pray that you just help us all to lay up the things in heaven, Lord, that will stand that test of fire. Lord, that we can have something to lay at the feet of Jesus, that thou could say to us, thou hast done well. What a blessing that would be. And Lord, I pray that you help us. Give us that strength. Give us that boldness that we need in the days ahead. And we sure do love you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that helps us each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.